being with Lot up until the herdmen of Lot strove with the herdmen of Abraham, and then they decided it was good for them to separate. So Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain, and that it was well watered. There was great blessing there of God. God had greatly blessed that land. And so Lot journeyed towards Sodom and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And that was a land full of blessings as far as the land itself was concerned. It was a fruitful land with plenty of water. And we'll see as we go on that the blessed condition or relationship that Sodom and Gomorrah had was a picture, it's spiritually speaking, they are a picture of the corporate church. And the church has at one time entered into a blessed relationship with God, where they had the great privilege and honor of being the caretakers of the oracles of God. They were entrusted with the Word of God, with the Gospel. And so they were blessed because of it. Whether they continued in that blessed state, well, the answer is no, they did not. But because they did not continue does not mean they were not blessed. Just as Israel was blessed to be delivered from Egypt, and the angels were blessed to have that first estate in heaven, so was Sodom and Gomorrah blessed to have such a bountiful land. And spiritually speaking, the corporate church has been greatly blessed by God, given the true gospel. And yet, the warning is to the corporate church, the New Testament church, that if you do not continue, if you do not maintain faithfulness towards the Word of God, the Bible, you likewise shall be cut off. Remember, we saw that warning clearly spelled out in the book of the Romans in chapter 11, where God spoke of national Israel being cut off, and then he addressed the New Testament churches and congregations, the Gentiles, and said, "Be not high-minded, but fear, lest ye also be cut off." There was the warning of God. And so God is here speaking of Sodom and Gomorrah, a people, cities that once were blessed of God, but then the land that was well nourished and full of water became as a desolation. Once the fire and brimstone were poured out upon it, the land became good for nothing. It became a parched wilderness because the fire burned up all the green grass of the land. In Deuteronomy 32, and beginning in verse 28, we read some information of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going to look at a few verses in order to let the Bible itself, to let God Himself inform us and define for us what the spiritual meaning of Sodom and Gomorrah is in the Bible. In verse 28 of Deuteronomy 32, we read there, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase a thousand, and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies, themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of ass." You see, their rock is not our rock. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock. He is that foundation stone upon which the eternal church is built. And their rock is another kind of a rock. Their foundation is not the Lord Jesus Christ. God is describing the spiritual situation of those that are unsaved in the church. They do not have the Lord Jesus as their foundation. And so whatever they are building upon, their rock, which is not the true rock, will be revealed on the last day and will come falling down, because there is none other foundation but the Lord Jesus Christ that one can spiritually build upon. And in this context, as God is speaking to Israel, he says in verse 32, their vine is the vine of Sodom. And once again, who does the vine represent? Just as the rock typified the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does a vine typify in the Bible? In John 15, verse 1, Jesus said, he is the true vine, and the Father is the husbandman. And so, therefore, their vine is not our vine. Their vine is another kind of a vine. It's another gospel, another Christ, another doctrine. And they do not have the true gospel of the Bible. And therefore, God likens them to Sodom and Gomorrah, the vine of Sodom and the field of Gomorrah. Why this tie-in? Why connect it to Sodom and Gomorrah? Because Sodom and Gomorrah, as God speaks of them in the Bible, are pictures of the apostate church, of a church that has corrupted itself in all of its doings, of a church that is going after other gospels, strange flesh, as we read back in Jude. And, well, let's not just base those, what we're saying, on one verse or one passage. Let's look at a couple others. In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah 1, and in two verses there, beginning in verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Who is Isaiah speaking to through the under inspiration of God? He's addressing Israel. Isaiah was prophesying to Israel. God is saying, unless there was a very small remnant, they would have been as Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, the remnant are not as Sodom and Gomorrah, but the rest of the people, all the unsaved that are of Israel, but are not true spiritual Jews. They are not really spiritual Israel. They are rulers of Sodom and people of Gomorrah. God, again, as he is faulting Israel for not being right in his sight because they are not saved, are likened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Or let's go over to Jeremiah and look at chapter 23, and just one verse there in verse 14, where it says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Well, now this verse is very clearly associating false prophets, false doctrines, who are speaking lies and involved in adultery and so forth, who strengthen the hands of evildoers because they're not bringing the true gospel of the Bible. They're bringing a false gospel that brings false assurance to those that ought not to be assured. That is, they're bringing a gospel that's like something like our easy believism of today, where it's widely taught that all someone has to do is accept the Lord Jesus Christ and say the sinner's prayer or walk down the aisle or some kind of thing like that, and you're saved. You see, they're given assurance. They're told that they're now right with God, and it's all a pack of lies. It's all error. It's all something that is coming from man's mind. And as man has developed this doctrine isn't found in the Bible, that man has power to bring salvation to himself like that. And therefore, those kind of gospels, if they serve to do anything, they serve to strengthen the hands of evildoers. And the hands represent the will in the Bible. And you see, because now they're confirmed in the way that they're going away from God. They've just been told that now they're all right with God and God loves them, and yet they're still in their sin, so their hands are strengthened to continue on in their evil way that they have been going. And that's a terrible, terrible sin that is going on in our present day. And so God likens teachers and priests or ministers and reverends, whoever is, or elders and deacons, whoever is teaching these types of lies, to those of Sodom and the inhabitants of Gomorrah. And what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They were destroyed. They were destroyed, and God is identifying his people as Sodom and Gomorrah. That is, the sins of the people of God are rising up, just as the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah rose up to heaven, and God was aware of them, and God visited Sodom to see if the things that he heard were so, to see if the evil report were in true, was truly the case. And so God did visit Sodom in appearance of two angels, and the city was destroyed. Well, let's also go to Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 16. And I'll begin reading in verse 46. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand. God is speaking to Jerusalem here, as he says that the elder sister is Samaria. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. You see how Sodom is related, spiritually speaking, to Samaria and to Judah, to Jerusalem. Why does God speak of Sodom as having some relationship? Well, because Sodom is a picture of the corporate church, just as Samaria is a picture of the corporate church, or Jerusalem is a picture of the corporate church. And then it goes on to say in verse 47, yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou was corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Well, God is saying that Jerusalem has corrupted itself more than Sodom and Gomorrah. The holy city has become so rebellious that it has justified its sister Sodom. And what God is saying is that the transgressions and the evil sins that Jerusalem and the people of God, the so-called people of God, are doing are more in number and of more of a greater degree as far as seriousness is concerned than Sodom and Gomorrah. And so Jerusalem has justified its sister Sodom. Well, what about the church of our day, which Jerusalem spiritually points to? That's really what God is saying. That's the point he's trying to make here, that the corporate church of our day, the church of the Great Tribulation, has justified its sisters of the Old Testament, Samaria, or the Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and Judah, and Sodom. The corporate church of our day has transgressed God's law to such a degree that it makes these Old Testament nations of Israel and Judah and cities of Sodom and Gomorrah look almost holy in how they conducted themselves. And we're not going to get into an itemized list of the sins of the church of our day, but if we were to sit down with pen and pencil and to write down the sins of the corporate church of today, it would be such a list that the world has never seen. It would be the longest list of sins that any people of God had ever terribly put together. It would be the most gross list of sins that a people of God had ever compiled. And this is the condition of the church of our day. Well, here in verse 49 of Ezekiel 16, God gives us some insight. He gives us some instruction as to why he destroyed Sodom. He says there, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." You see, this is what God was looking at. This is why fire and brimstone rained down from heaven. This is why Sodom was utterly destroyed and taken away. And what is the first thing mentioned here? Pride. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Pride. Well, what's wrong with pride? To the world, pride is a good thing. You have to have pride. You have to have confidence in yourself and so forth, and all that the world thinks pride is. You have to be a proud man in the world's eyes, but that's not what God desires. As a matter of fact, God indicates he resists the proud. God is against the proud. God sets himself and his face against the proud man. And so as God is looking down upon Sodom, which we have to remember typifies the corporate church, the first thing he sees that is offensive to him is pride. Pride has lifted Sodom up. Pride has raised it up where they now think that they are something. And God warns against that. And believe it or not, God says, when someone thinks that they're something and yet they're nothing, then that's a dangerous thought to have. And so pride was Sodom's sin, number one. Well, what does that mean to have the sin of pride, especially for a corporate body, a corporate church? How can a corporate church be proud? Well, let's go to Obadiah and read verses 3 and 4 of Obadiah. And it says there in verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Now God is speaking here of Edom, and yet again, Edom is another type and another picture of the corporate church. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. You see, it's the pride of one's heart that is a terrible sin in God's sight. And when someone to heaven will just be left saying things out of our own mind. Well, stars represent in the Bible believers, and you can see that in Daniel 12 as Daniel writes about the stars being the wise being as the stars forever and ever. And so here, Edom, typifying the unsaved in the corporate church, has exalted themselves unto where the eagles dwell, and has set their nest among the stars. They've raised themselves up greatly. And what is this looking at? Well, it's looking at those that bring salvation to themselves. They suppose, they think and believe this, and as they have done so, they have lifted themselves up. They have exalted themselves to the very heavens, to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Because once someone becomes saved, God speaks of that person ascending into heaven and then being commissioned by God to carry the gospel and then descending back to earth. And so we are seated in heavenly places in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is about as high as anyone can get. But, however, when someone has taken this honor and this grace to themselves, when they are not actually saved, then this is pride. This is pride. This is lifting oneself up high above where they ought to be. They have to recognize their sinfulness and the fact that they're under the wrath of God. They have to become lowly. God is the only one who exalts one to heaven. God is the only one who can exalt one in this manner with salvation. All right, in our next study, we'll continue to look at pride, the pride of Sodom, and how it brought about the fierce anger of God.